Amen. Would you take the Bibles out from under your chairs? Grab those Bibles, or if you brought yours along, pull that out. Turn with me to Romans 11. Goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Okay, that is page number 1122, 1122. Romans 11. Everybody there? 1122. Here are a lot of pages. Okay. Oh, the depth of the riches. This is verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the way that Paul gives an introduction to one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. And I want to read you just the entire chapter. So it's going to be a little long, but follow along with me here, okay? Because this is really, really good stuff. Romans 12. Therefore, in light of what we just read about how great God is, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. That's everything that we've sung about this morning. The fact that He's called us out of darkness and into light. The fact that He's saved us. The fact that He's healed us. When we could do nothing on our own. In view of all of that mercy from God. All the grace He gives us every day. I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Okay, now skip down to verse 9. We talked about living sacrifices. The part we skipped was about serve humbly. Okay, and now we're going into love completely and freely. That's what this is going to be about. So here we go. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. There's one translation that I read of that said, be enthusiastic in spirit. Do not lag in zeal. Did you ever know that was a command in Scripture? Be enthusiastic in spirit. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. But leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What a list, right? Does that describe you? Are you that person? Because I'm not. I can go down through those lists of commands and I can say, how am I ever going to be that person? To actually bless people who curse me. To not take revenge. To love sincerely everyone. Is it even possible? Well, it's so different from the way the world around us lives. Think about how the world would state these same things. Though the world would say, look out for yourself first. Whereas God says, serve other people humbly and eagerly honor each other. The world says, get to know the bigwigs so you can advance yourself. And God says, be willing to associate with people of low position. The world says, be secretly happy when other people have a hard time and when they're sad. Right? Because it wasn't you. And they say, be happy when other people are sad and they don't get what they want because maybe it'll come to you instead. But God says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. The world says, don't be too generous because people will take advantage of you. But God says, contribute to others' needs. Pursue hospitality. Feed your enemy. The world says, when someone hurts you, hurt them back. Be strong and make sure they never mess with you again. But God says, bless people who curse you. Do not repay evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. Now, this is a completely different way of living from what we're used to, from what we've done our entire lives. And it flows out of a completely different way of thinking. Because God wants to change the way I think in order to transform the way I live. Now, we just finished the 1 month to live series. So this is kind of the last message of 1 month to live. And we're going into a series we're calling Horizontal Six, which is the next six commandments of the Ten Commandments. We already did Vertical Four that talk about the relationship between us and God. Now we're moving on to the horizontal ones, which are the relationship between us and other people. So this is the last message of 1 month to live and the bridge into the commandments. Okay? Now, how does this fit with the commandments, you may say? Well, the commandments are honor your father and mother, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not covet. And what we just read connects with it in this way. If you've got your Bible still open, take a look just a little bit further down to Romans 13:8, the very bottom of that page. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. That means if you really love, you will obey the commands. And here they are. The commands, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commands there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So this is what I hope this message is. I hope that this message is going to be the bridge into those six commandments that we're studying, okay? So that we can learn how it is possible that we actually become that kind of person. That when we read Romans 12, that we can say, I'm actually starting to get it. I'm never perfect, but I'm starting to get it. When I responded in love to that person who cursed me, right? So this is how we become. God wants to change the way I think in order to transform the way I live. The way we think changes everything, okay? Now, just as an example of that, have you guys ever done lateral thinking puzzles? They're these, like, brain teaser things. Okay, see these nine dots up here? Everybody grab your pen or pencil and your bulletin or whatever. If you've got a sheet of paper, I want you to draw these nine dots in a small pattern on your bulletin, okay? This is going to weird you out. I'm just I'm just warning you, okay? Everybody drawing your nine dots? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Okay, now, here's the challenge. I want you to take those nine dots, and I want you to, with four straight lines or less, and they have to be straight lines, connect all the dots without lifting your pen or your pencil from the page. Oh, you laugh, but it's possible, I promise you. Okay, see if you can do it. Maybe one through the top, three, another one down the side. Oh, I drew a square, but the middle one's still there, right? Maybe I cross a diagonal one, and then I move around, and no, I still didn't get it because that one on the side's out. Did anybody get it yet? Yes. Have you seen this before? Okay, if you've seen this one before, raise your hand. Ah, I see. Okay. Now, you want to see how to do it? You ready? Because you had to think outside the box, right? I told you had to think outside the box. Look, I know, it's cheating, right? Okay, let's go on to something else. Okay, how about one that's verbal? Okay, thinking differently made all the difference because all we could think about was perfectly straight lines going through the dots straight, right? Okay, now, here's another one. A father and his son are in a terrible car accident. The father is killed instantly. The son is taken to the hospital. Rushed to the hospital, into the operating room. When the son gets into the operating room, then the surgeon walks in, and the surgeon says this, "I can't operate on this boy. He's my son." How is this possible? It was his mother. That's right. That's right. Now, how many of you just didn't even think about that? Never thought it was his mother, right? Okay. Okay, so it all changes the way. It's all about changing the way that you think, okay? Here's the thing about this. When we get out of our habits of thinking that the world has just ingrained into us, then suddenly everything changes, and things that we thought were insane and impossible are no longer impossible. Now, if that's true of something as silly as puzzles like that, how much more is it true of things that really matter? Things that are life-changing. So this is what Paul says in Romans 12, 2. He says this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." Now, being conformed, okay, it's kind of like Jell-O in a Jell-O mold. So you pour your Jell-O into the mold, and then when you take the mold off, you flip it upside down, and all of a sudden you've got this perfectly shaped, conformed Jell-O that you can poke, and it wiggles, right? So this is what being conformed means. Now, here's another example of being conformed. How many of you watch Extreme Makeover Home Edition? Have you guys seen that show? How many of you cry regularly during Extreme Makeover Home? Okay, I'm glad you're honest, okay? I'm glad you're honest. Okay. Now, I want to show you something slightly different. We have Extreme Makeover Pig Edition. Okay, now, just bear with me here. Okay, we've got this poor guy. And I mean, this guy's having some troubles, right? I mean, that's a happy pig, but that's a dirty pig, okay? But this is the before picture. Now, here's the after picture. Once the magic of Extreme Makeover Pig Edition has been worked. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Look at that suit. Man, that guy, that is one dapper pig right there. Okay. All right, we got another one here. Look at this. Oh, man. Look at that mud. Come on, you know? But the after picture from Extreme Pig Makeover. Look at that. That is a sultry swine. I'm sorry, that was terrible. Okay. Now, here's the thing. You can put a pig in a dress. But no matter how much you do to it, it's still going to wallow. A pig is a pig. It's going to stay in the mud. What those pigs need is not to be conformed to a proper style. What they need is to be transformed into a completely different sort of animal. Now, there's another example of this. Paul talks about transformation. This is the difference between confirmation and transformation, okay? Who knows what this is? Caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Now, this is the bonus question. You get bonus points for any of you who are keeping track of your bonus points and services. Okay, for answering this question correctly, what is the scientific name for this? Metamorphosis. Very good, very good. Okay, now, we have seen this metamorphosis happening, okay? Now, you want to see something really cool? Because this, my friends, is really cool. Are you ready for this? Okay. That's Greek. This is the language, I know it doesn't seem cool yet, just wait, we'll get there. This is the language that the New Testament was written in, okay? So this is Greek, this is what it looks like, okay? Now, that is the word for transform, that red one right there. You want to zoom in on it? You need some help? The root word is metamorpho, which is exactly the same word that we get that word metamorphosis from. For Paul to say, to be metamorphosized, to completely change, you are a completely different kind of creature now. Now, what does this look like? How does this happen? Well, Paul says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now we have to ask the question, how do we renew our minds and what does it look like? One of my high school teachers said that thoughts lead to actions, which lead to habits, which lead to character, which lead to your life's direction. So your life's direction, when you keep stepping back through this, goes right back to the thoughts that you think all the time. Because the more you think it, the more likely you are to act on it. And when you act on it again and again, it becomes a habit. And when your habits keep going and you don't break them, they become your character. And when your character is formed, that becomes the direction of your life. So, can you see how important our thoughts are? The way we think? How critical that is? Remember, God wants to change the way I think in order to transform the way I live. So if we allow him to, what he's going to do is to renew my mind. And we'll begin to see the world the way that he sees the world. It's not a one-time event. This is an ongoing process by which God completely changes the way we think as he renews our mind. And by means of that, he changes the way we live. And this is how we can become people for whom it's easy to love completely. So here's what the process looks like practically. First of all, we spend time in relationship with God. So in order to have our mind renewed, you have to, number one, spend time in relationship with God. The more you spend time with someone, the more they influence you. Just think about your best friend from forever ago and how much influence that person has on you. Or your spouse, and how much you've changed because of your spouse. You know, once people get old, they even start looking like each other if they've lived together long enough. It's crazy, right? So it's this insane change that happens from just influence. As we take time to relate to God, and we talk to him, okay, and we read his words, and we listen to him, he reveals to us who he is and who we are. So it all starts with relationship. The next part of it is surrender. Because you will notice that as you start to just be quiet and listen to God and spend time with him, that he's going to start showing you the ways that you think that are not right. Okay? You will start to notice, oh man, I can't believe I just thought that. Or you'll read something in Scripture and you'll be like, whoa, that's not me. I don't think like that. Right? Okay? And as you surrender to him and this ongoing process of submitting our thoughts to him. Now, I say that really intentionally, submitting our thoughts. There's this really cool verse in 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 10:5, and it says this: we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Think about that. We take captive every thought. So you have a wrong thought, you're like, bang, like you would catch a fly, right? And we make that thought obedient to Jesus. Now, we're not always going to succeed at that, but again, it's this ongoing process. We submit our thoughts to Him, okay? And we try to live the way that He lives, to try to see other people the way He sees them, to think the way He thinks. Even if you've been a Christian for a long time, it's really easy to get lazy in this. Because we're kind of like, oh, well, I'm okay. I didn't actually do that thing, right? I didn't actually say that thing to that person that I thought that was a curse against them. I don't actually act on my hatred against that person. I know I'm bitter, but I never, like, it doesn't affect the way I treat them. I know I'm holding something against them, right? And we get this idea that we can live that way without it tearing us apart. But we can't. The point is, if you keep thinking, you will do. It's only a matter of time. There's not a question. And just as an aside, this is why things like lust are so powerful, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. And third, change. God changes our way of thinking in that area as we submit our thoughts to Him. And that change of thinking flows into our actions, which over time flows into our habits, which over time flows into our character, which in the end flows into our life's direction. And suddenly, by faithfully and intentionally submitting your thoughts to Jesus, you have become a different person with a different direction to your life. And that's how that works. This is how over time we become people for whom love is natural. Love is automatic. Love is our habit. Now I just want to close with this example. I have a bench that I sit on. My bench doesn't look that cool, but I do have a bench that I sit on. When I go to meet a friend of mine for accountability and Bible study together. And I've done a lot of thinking on this bench. I'll often go there early before I meet him for coffee, and I'll sit on this bench and I'll just be quiet, or I'll read or do something to get my brain engaged where it needs to be engaged. So, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when God starts to change you, He like all of a sudden hits you with a million things at once. So it's like, you don't get it, you don't get it, you don't get it, you don't get it. And then all of a sudden something clicks and you get it and you look back and there's this, 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 and that, that other thing and all these things that you knew that God was preparing you to get it. Has anyone had that happen? Nod at me if you've had that happen. That's the way that God works, okay? So let me give you three pieces of this puzzle of how this renewing mind actually worked in my life on an area that I was just completely off the reservation in, okay? This is how it looked for me. The first piece of this was, I am in ministry, okay? When you are in ministry, and even when you're not in ministry, okay, but you just love people, you will experience a lot of brokenness. You're going to experience the brokenness of other people. You're going to experience the brokenness of yourself responding to the brokenness of other people. And just in this past year, there's been a lot of stuff that has gone on. And there have been a lot of people, whether it be sickness to recovery, death and birth, you know, sin and victory over sin. And as somebody who's on staff here, I am pulled into a lot of that stuff. And sometimes I'm helping people through difficult things in their lives, and sometimes my friends are just having a hard time, and sometimes I'm just having a hard time. Now, a while ago, I was just whining and complaining to Sharon one night. And we found out something else had just happened, and I was just like, why can I not just live a normal life with normal people? And she goes, and you're normal? And I said, no, I just let me vent, right? Okay, so I was all mad, right? And I was just overwhelmed at that moment with the brokenness of the world. Like, why is life so sad? Why do all these things happen? Why am I always in the middle of these things? So that's piece one. Now, I was still mad about this and kind of sad about it and depressed about it. A little while later, I'm sitting on this bench. And as I'm sitting on this bench, I'm reading this devotional book, and it's got a bunch of writings from these like Celtic prayers and like these Celtic Christians who wrote a whole bunch of stuff. And there's some really interesting writings in there. Well, I was reading this one. It was really strange. And I was like, what is this about? I had to read it a couple times. It was about harvest. And he was like, when we go to harvest, and people in that time, because it was a long time ago, would go, the whole town would get out and they would harvest their fields, right? And they would all see each other out there harvesting their grain or potatoes or whatever it was they were harvesting, okay? And they would look around, and he said that it was a time of joy of the harvest and a time of great sadness, because they would all look around and see everyone who was there last year who wasn't there this year. And the whole community participated in that. And then they would think about it all winter long. And I was like, that is so weird. And then I began thinking about it. In our culture, we do anything that we can to avoid pain and suffering. And we are closer than any culture has been at any time to actually achieving it. Because we have all of these medicines and operations and doctors, right? We have all this entertainment to take our minds off things. We have so much wealth. But somehow, pain always works its way in, even though we spend 50% of our lives just trying to avoid it and to make ourselves happy and content, okay? Now, I wrote this in response to that, and I want you to listen to this because it was only like 2 days before I had been whining about this. Just keep that in mind. This is the legal pad I was writing on at the time. Theme I noticed in several sources recently as I study and think through older readings. Sorrow and suffering as a reality of life. Less to be avoided than to be used and borne. Also the role of the community in this. We suffer together. And we bear each other's burdens. We rejoice together. The reality of sadness and trial was far greater than what do we lose by avoiding sorrow in our culture, of our own or of others. And I wrote that 2 days after I had been whining about this. And all of a sudden, this hit me like a ton of bricks. Bang! Okay? God said, what's with the fact that this and what's going on in here don't match up? And then he brought me to Romans 12, which we just read, and he said this to me through these verses, which I had read 100 times or 50 times over the course of my studying this chapter with my friend, and never got it. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And all of a sudden, something snapped inside of me. And I got it. And it completely changed my attitude. And I said to my friend, I'm so glad that I get to suffer with people. I'm so glad I get to rejoice with people. Because if I didn't, I'd be all alone. That's what this place is about. It's about loving together, rejoicing when others rejoice, mourning when others mourn, sharpening each other, helping each other follow Jesus. This is what it looks like to have your mind renewed. See, God can make us people who love like this. Changing the way we think from strength wins to weakness wins. From I have to force my way ahead to get what I want to God gives me everything I need when I just stop forcing and start surrendering. From let me avoid all suffering, to let me rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn and experience more joy as I do that than I've ever experienced in my life. This is how we become these people.